Upstairs at an intimate club in Lower Manhattan on Thursday night, an 84-year-old trumpeter was holding forth with a horn player 50 years younger than he. Clark Terry was playing with Roy Hargrove at the Jazz Gallery. The evening was billed, "And the Trumpet Shall Sound," and they were letting it rip. It's no exaggeration to call Clark Terry one of the founding fathers of jazz. Born in 1920, Terry performed with Count Basie and Duke Ellington for years. He inspired Miles Davis. He played with Thelonious Monk, Oscar Peterson, Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, everyone. He was the first African-American to play for the NBC Symphony Orchestra on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show with Doc Severinsen. This month, Clark Terry donated his archive, manuscripts, recordings, instruments, and other memorabilia to William Paterson University in New Jersey. And in 2004, he released not one, but two new CDs. I met Clark Terry when I was 13 years old in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. My stepfather, a big jazz fan who somehow brought many famous musicians to our small town, invited him to dinner at our house, and he came.
Why did you play such small towns? You were already famous. You were on television. Why did you want to play small towns in Wisconsin?
Oh, these were the places where we knew that we were needed.
You gave me something really wonderful. I'm sure you've forgotten. You gave me a photograph of yourself, your stage photograph.
I did?
Yep, and you signed it, Jackie. Stay as sweet as you are, Clark Terry.
Oh,
and you drew this little trumpet. And I was so young, I was about 13, I thought, how could he know I was that sweet?
Do you still have it?
I think so. I hope so.
Oh, that's good.
Clark Terry is still selling out shows. He played on New Year's Eve. He'll play in Italy in February. He walks with a cane, but the years fall away when he plays the flugelhorn or trumpet. We stole a few moments before he went on stage. He's decided to call me Jacqueline, not my name.
I just want to say you are looking well. You are looking natty.
Oh, thank you.
To play with the young trumpet player, Roy Hargrove, you've got on a white sailor's cap, a pinstripe suit, a white tie, and this gorgeous little gold trumpet hanging as a necklace around your neck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Which you always used to sign.
And this makes me feel so good. Here I am, 84 years. This kid is like 34 or something, you know.
How do you keep going? Most musicians would never have a chance.
You know, Jacqueline, it's young people. They keep you honest. They're going to ask you questions, and you better have some answers. But people, lots of students don't really give a darn, you know. But there are some very, very special students who really want to know the truth.
To be the first African-American musician to play with the NBC Symphony and to be there at the beginning of the Tonight Show.
Well, it meant a very, very special lot, particularly because of the way that it came about. You know, there's an organization called the Urban League. Mm-hmm. The Urban League had done research into all major industries as to why there was not more black representation, in their industry. So they went to NBC and said, why do you not have any black people playing on television? And they were told by NBC, you don't have any black people who can play music on television. So Urban League didn't quite believe that. So they made a questionnaire. And they asked, the questionnaire would ask, who do you know who was black, who could play music on television? My name just happened to come up on every one of the ballots.
So you went on TV.
Yeah.
And later, Johnny Carson came along.
Yeah.
What was it like playing on television?
Jacqueline, it was beautiful because the position that we were in was a very, very special position. We were considered to be proofreaders, so to speak, you know. So every act that you can think of would come on the Tonight Show and bring this unplayed music before, and we were expected to solve it, you know, which we did, you know.
So you would wing it, you and Doc Severinsen and the
Doc
whole
Severinsen,
band.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it felt great to be in a position to put the stamp of approval on something and say yay or nay.
Now, recently, in early December, you donated your entire archive,
right. 60
years of work, to the William Patterson University in New Jersey. Why that school and not some bigger place somewhere else? What was special about it?
I wanted to be associated with an organization that was dedicated to jazz with the faculty I worked with regularly, and I know they're qualified teachers, you know. And Dr. Dempsey, who's the head of the department, he's so beautiful.
We spoke to David Dempsey, who's the head of the jazz department at William Patterson. And he said that for students, you embody something really special, that if you were studying history, it would be ideal if you could study with Washington and Thomas Jefferson. But that to study with you, you knew both Count Basie and Duke Ellington. You played with them both.
That's what it's all about, to learn something, develop it, pass it on, you know, to young people.
Clark, what's the secret of playing the way that you do? You're known for having this terrific embouchure, for playing the flugelhorn and the trumpet, for playing it upside down, for lipping it just in this incredible way, designing instruments. What would your advice be to a young horn player?
Well, my advice to young horn players is to really get into it enough to it. He really wants to perfect it and study it and not take anything for granted. Because I always tell young kids that studying is like going to the bank, you know. You can't go to the bank and say, give me $50.02. The cat said, I'm terribly sorry, sir, but you have $6.05 in the bank in your account. You know, you can't get 50. That's like getting blood off a turnip, you know.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about your new album. You just had an album come out.
Yeah.
Chilled and Remixed.
Yeah.
Well, we've got 10 cuts on this CD that are jazz standards. One of them, Mumbles, is your own song, your own composition, which you made incredibly well-known, famous. You started that mumbling thing. You started it, I think, when you were playing with Oscar Peterson.
I actually started before that, exactly. Back in my hometown of St. Louis, there was lots of bars. These were in the clubs where they'd sawdust on the floor, and as Ellington would say, sawdust is bouncing. The earlobes are tilting, you know, and the finger popping, and the hand clapping and so forth. What was being sung about, or how it was being sung about, didn't matter at all. This one lady, for instance, give you an example, she might decide it. And he makes it, ding, 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 and she starts to say, oh, my God. All it was heard was, I want my eggs in the morning. After that, it didn't matter. The fun and the merriment was the most important thing.
Did you see the fiend the fang of the hang dog?
Yeah, I seen the flang dog.
You know, they was all the people, all the lady, all the lady, all
the
Clark Terry performing his Mumbles routine live with Roy Hargrove at the Jazz Gallery in New York City Thursday night. For pictures and more about our evening with Clark Terry, check out our website at npr.org. Yeah. Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Scott Simon's back next week.